Thank you, Dorothy. She always says this piano just plays itself. And when I've been in here, I looked all over the place for the key. And I think the key's sitting on the piano bench. Our call to worship this morning is based on Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. So let us stand before God as we are able and call ourselves into worship of our prophet, priest, and king. Come and worship Christ, the firstborn of creation, the eternal God, the one through whom all things are created and in whom all things are held together. This is our God. Let's worship together.
The great foundation on which your people stand to preach your true salvation in every age and land. Pour out your Holy Spirit to make us strong and pure, to keep the
Let us continue to stand as able as we confess our sins, based on Psalm 15. Even our best intentions go awry when we are not at one with God's purpose. Our God journeys with us and provides for us an unending mercy, patience, and kindness, so that when we repent, we find ourselves forgiven. Holy God, we do not deserve to be in your dwelling place. We have not led the blameless life. We have not done what is right in your sight or spoken the truth that you have sealed in our hearts. We have done evil to those we love and to those we refuse to love as we should. We have not been faithful stewards of all which we have been blessed, and have hoarded that which should be shared with the least. Hear our cry, O God, as we confess that which weighs us down. Redeeming God, save us from our foolishness and guide us in your wisdom. Gather in us your righteousness and redemption. Forgive us, for we are seeking your light and your salvation. Cleanse us of our brokenness, that we may do justice, kindness, and walk humbly with you. Amen. Our Lord Jesus gives us rest and peace. Our Master's touch heals us, and his shed blood in our salvation. Hear the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. With joyous knowledge of this gift in our hearts, let us share Christ's peace with all we meet. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Please take a moment now to share this peace with those around us. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Amen. I'm reading this morning from Amos 8, 1 through 12. It's in your pew Bibles on 856. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you that tremble on the needy, and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over? So that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale. We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances. Am I reading the right thing here? Buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon, darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentations. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for only an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it.
Thank you, Mindy. Thank you, Dorothy. It was lovely. The second reading for today is a little more uplifting than the Amos was. It comes to us again from Luke's Gospel, again, chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, and it's a story that we all know well. I'll be reading from the Common English Bible translation. While Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. By contrast, Martha was preoccupied with getting everything ready for their meal. So Martha came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken away from her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, I have a love. Well, geez, I don't know. Maybe sometimes I hate it. I have a love-hate relationship with the Saturday morning farmers market. The place is really alive. It's a feast of colors and textures for the eye. And it's fun to wander around the booths, chatting with everyone who's there. Plus, I'd much rather support a local grower than buy produce from some California conglomerate. But that feast for the eye invites overbuying and overeating and maybe letting some of that gorgeous summer fruit go to waste. Not good. The notion of summer fruit wasting away speaks to Amos's bowl of fruit vision. The fruit that God showed him was beautiful, rich, and ripe for enjoying, and it probably overflowed the bowl. Kind of like my market toad on farmers market days. Yeah. God's like that. Always offering creation what seems to be an overabundance of spiritual nourishment and physical delights. So much so that some of them may spoil before we truly appreciate them. It makes you wonder why. Not so much why does God provide so much, which is a good question, but why do we seem to waste so many of God's gifts? There must be as many answers as there are people in the world. But Luke's story about Martha and Mary helps us grapple with one reason that's pretty universal, something many people will recognize in themselves. His story starts out when Martha runs out to invite Jesus home for dinner. Can't you just see her just galloping in to take care of, to invite him in? Well, I got to tell you, it is surprising that this woman is inviting a man, any man, to dinner. He is not a member of her family. And the rules were very strict about who could invite whom to anything. And women inviting men was entirely inappropriate. You may have noticed there are no signs of any men in Martha's home. Lazarus is not mentioned here. So was she the senior member of her family? Probably. Did she know Jesus? Was he a distant relation, perhaps? Maybe. Was she well off? Could she afford to host a dinner? Probably. no matter what. She was very much a take-charge woman who was very excited about the opportunity to host this traveling rabbi. And while she was probably the official host of this event, she was still a woman, which means her role at any dinner was to prepare the food and set the table. And once Jesus accepted her invitation, she got down to business in the kitchen. Meanwhile, her sister, who was probably younger, takes on the usual role of the host and sits with the family's guest, listening as he spoke. Which makes me wonder, was Mary the only one in the room when he talked? Probably not. Social rules wouldn't permit a man to be alone with a woman other than his wife. So, were the disciples there too? Probably. And if this is true, Martha's not just cooking supper for Jesus. She's mixing and baking and stewing for a group of visitors. That's real hospitality and a lovely gift to a group of travelers. But she wasn't simply stewing meat and barley together. The longer she worked in that kitchen, the more she stewed about Mary's absence. Don't you suspect she was banging those pots and setting the utensils down with a clash? Oh, and muttering under her breath. You know how it goes. Mutter, mutter, mutter. Why she didn't simply ask Mary directly to come and help her is anybody's guess. Instead, she decides to take charge of the situation by making her feelings known to her guest. Jesus, don't you care? That action breaks yet another social rule. Never bring shame to yourself around outsiders. And trying to get Jesus to side with her against her sister embarrasses him, embarrasses her sister, and herself if she just stopped to think about it. But she charges ahead. After all, feeding a big group is hard work, and she's a very busy woman. There's lots of little details that must be done in just the right order and with split-second timing. And by the way, that kitchen, it was really hot in there. Maybe she just wasn't busy, though. Maybe the pressure had gotten to her. Maybe she was having a panic attack. She definitely worked herself into quite a state. Now, most of us probably think that Jesus' next words were spoken to scold his host. In the sound stage of our minds, we hear him say, "Martha, Martha," or maybe, like on the Brady Bunch, "Martha, Martha, Martha." But scolding isn't Jesus' style. Neither is berating anybody. He's more about teaching and redirecting folks to better behaviors. Now, Luke says he spoke her name twice without exclamation points. And that detail helps us know that the tone of his words is more like that of a caring big brother. Something more like, "Martha, Martha, it's okay. Take a deep breath." He's not angry with her or embarrassed by her outburst. He's showing her compassion, and he's helping her to refocus her heart. Because focus is the real issue here. Thinking back, whenever my family hosted a party, Dad always made sure we had enough food to feed an army. Back then, people did not go out to Kroger's to pick up a veggie, meat, and cheese tray, though. So Mom and Barb and I worked hard to be ready. It got pretty frantic around the house before the event, and even during the time our guests were present, we were often so busy, we hardly got to talk to any of them. Yeah, we were showing great hospitality, but we missed out on visiting with friends. And aren't parties supposed to nurture relationships? Jesus was concerned about Martha, as a good friend should be. He sees she isn't just consumed by the busyness of preparing the meal. He sees she's worried and distracted by many things. And like a brother to a sister, he wants her to relax and join in the conversation. You know, don't worry. We'll figure the food out. We got this. Then again, Jesus is not fully human. Well, not only fully human, he's also fully God. And as God, he's hoping that she'll take time to refocus herself on the relationship between the two of them, that she'll sit down and soak up the life-giving wisdom he's sharing with those who are listening. Yes, the practicalities of life must be attended to. Yes, serving a lovely meal to your guests is expressing your care for them as people. And yes, as people of faith, Christ asks us to demonstrate our love for God by nurturing and supporting one another. He teaches that we're also to fill unmet food and clothing, education, housing, and health care needs of other people in this world who would otherwise go wanting. We're to support them and serve the world in Christ's name. And caring for others, serving others, is always good, vital ministry. So Martha was expressing her love through her service. Yeah, there's a real possibility that we can become so concerned that we're meeting the needs we see or focused on the details of our service that we neglect to interact with those that we serve. After all, Jesus ate with his disciples and the 5,000 and the tax collectors and everyone else. He wasn't making sure that they just had food. He made sure that they knew they were precious in his sight, that he was with them. We can find ourselves giving and giving and giving so much that exhausted, we realize there's no energy left to nurture one another's spirits. But the spirit is as important as is the body, and maybe more so. Jesus did not berate Martha for her service or her busyness. He showed her compassion because he saw she was worried and distracted from something good. Simply sitting with him and the others, listening, talking, and learning from one another, growing in relationship together. Allowing ourselves to become worried and distracted by many things deprives us of the blessings of deep friendship with each other and with Jesus, especially with Jesus. And that is wasting the greatest gift of all, which is far worse than going to the farmer's market and buying so much summer fruit that you can't enjoy it all. Now, Amos clearly reminds God's children that they have not been caring for people, but were, quote, trampling the needy and destroying the poor of the land. He tells them God will not forget what they've done and that it is more than offensive to God's ears. They have not served others. They've become distracted and worried about their own worldly pleasures. He even describes in great detail the punishment God intends. Rereading this one section, the time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. These people will not suffer a famine of bread, nor great thirst of water. Instead, they'll be seeking God and listening for God's word. But they'll not find him. These disobedient children were to be separated from sharing in relationship with God. I am so very glad that the Old Testament stories sometimes recount the times God decides to punish a people and then reverses the decision. And in coming to earth in human form as Jesus, God has again invited people into relationship with God's self. And that's what Jesus was saying to his dinner host, Martha. Martha, don't waste your time being distracted or worrying. Refocus your heart. Sit with me. Listen. Talk. Grow your compassion with me, with your sister and our friends. For this is the better part, the good stuff of life. Spending time with God, reading God's word, praying, listening for the Spirit's response is a gift God offers each of us. A gift that is not to be wasted. The friendship that develops when we focus our hearts on God strengthens us for when we're called to serve our Creator. And that is the good stuff of life. Amen.
Please join me in singing hymn number 339, Be Thou My Vision. Stand as we sing.
Let us remain standing while we reaffirm our faith using Colossians 1st chapter verses 15 through 20 in the Common English Bible. Please join me. The Son is the image of an invisible God, of the invisible God, the one who is first over all creation. Because all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, the things that are visible and the things that are invisible, whether they are thrones or powers or rulers or parties, all things are created through him and for him. He existed before all things, and all things are held together in him. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the one who is the firstborn from among the dead, so that he might occupy the first place in everything. Because all the fullness of God was pleased to live in him, he reconciled all things to himself through him, whether things on earth or in heavens. He brought peace through the blood of the cross.
Good morning, everyone. At its June meeting, session approved a fundraising campaign to offset the cost of the new heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and cooling equipment, also known as HVAC. The new HVAC systems, one for the sanctuary and fellowship hall part of the church, and the other for the older part, including the chapel and classrooms, will cost in excess of $100,000. It would be nice to raise the entire amount, and we hope that will happen. But Session's goal is to raise $50,000 over the next 2 years. We ask that you prayerfully consider making a donation to the HVAC fund. Checks should be made out to Trinity United Presbyterian Church with HVAC shown on the memo line. We will send out a letter about the fundraising campaign and include pledge cards for those who are prepared to make a formal commitment, and we urge all members and friends of Trinity to participate in this campaign. The letters and the pledge cards will be available in the near future, perhaps next week or the week after. If you have any questions about giving to the campaign fund, you can talk to me, Bill Miska, or Lou Sidwell, Joan Miska, or Frank Wahlberg. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I do believe I understand correctly, and please help me if I am incorrect, that the pledge cards will enable you all to make a pledge that you can pay out over the course of 2 years. So instead of just this year, you can make a larger pledge and include next year, which is pretty cool when you think about it. Today, we need to remember that Charlene Noland is healing well from her surgery. I talked with her again this morning, and she's got a little discomfort, yeah, but it's better than it was. We are also grateful that John Dixon has been released from hospital and is back at the Oaks of Bethesda. So if you want to send him a card of encouragement, please do so there. I think the address is in your directories in the errata page. Also, I understand that from Elva that Dave is has been granted permission by the VA to go up to the Cleveland Clinic for not just further tests, but probably treatment for his condition. And it's not a fully diagnosed situation, so I'm not going to say what they think it is, but please keep them in prayer. Are there any other people or concerns that we need to be aware of to pray about today? Oh, okay. Kathy's healing. Thank you. Kathy, our pianist, or our organist, is healing, but with foot surgery, it takes a while to heal, and she's expecting to be gone another month. So, Dorothy, we're going to pray for you that you continue to play beautifully, because you have been, and we'll pray for Kathy to heal fully. Anything else? Well, today, as you hear me say the words, God of compassion, please respond with, hear our prayer. God of compassion, hear our prayer. Okay, let us pray. O God, creator of all that is and all that will ever be, we are forever grateful that you have offered the wonders of your universe to us, earth and sea and sky. Our eyes continually see your fingerprints on feathers afloat in soft summer breezes. Minuscule tadpoles and tiny little fishes scooting beneath the surface of crystal clear creeks. And even now, the mesmerizing colors and brilliance of starlight that you called into being billions of years ago, and that we are finally seeing reflected from an incredible telescope that you have caused humankind to build. Oh, Lord, for such gifts as these, we thank you. Hear us now as we lift to you the concerns of our hearts. We pray for the church throughout the world. May we follow Christ our head and be blameless in living the gospel of reconciliation. O God of compassion, hear our prayer. We pray for the earth, that we may use its resources wisely for the benefit of all that live upon it, and offer help wherever natural disaster has fractured trust in the goodness of creation. We especially pray for the great sequoias of Yosemite and the Great Basin's bristlecone pines, both of which suffer the impacts of the ongoing drought in the West. O God of compassion, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, that all may live without fear of war or poverty or oppression. We pray for the leaders of the nations, that they may honor justice, protect the weak, and serve the common good. God of compassion, hear our prayer. We pray for our community, that all may dwell in harmony, and those who have no place to rest their heads might find places to call home. God of compassion, hear our prayer. We pray for our enemies, that we may find reconciliation with them for the sake of Christ. And we pray for our friends and our families, that we may walk together in love and harmony, and that if that love or harmony break, that you will help us repair it and reconcile one with the other in love. God of compassion, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are sick, or are weak, or are hungry, or dying. May you bless them with peace and the healing you alone know they should have. O God of compassion, hear our prayer. Merciful God, hear now the silent prayers of our hearts, offered in steadfast faith and hope in your care for us. We pray this in your Son Jesus' name, For he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please stand and sing hymn number 369, I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me. Things for God, for His glory. But at the same time, take time to refocus your heart on God. Don't just be busy out there all the time. Pray so that you can hear the Holy Spirit, so that you can grow in love and compassion. Pray and be in relationship with the one who loves you more than anything or anybody can on earth. For God created you good, named you, called you his own, and invited you to go out in love to share that good news. Go with God, God's grace, Jesus Christ's love, and the community of the Holy Spirit that draws us together and sends us out into the world to share love every day. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you.